Rory fires Harry after this week. Not fires. That's too harsh of a word. Rory and Harry part ways. Focus on their friendship. It was stressing their friendship too much.
And he wins the Open
Lacava,
at Liverpool.
Lacava leaves Cantlay because he didn't have enough tools in his DeWalt bag for Rory.
All right. Book it. Clip it. You heard it here first. Before we get started, we have to give a thanks to our sponsor, Spartan Insurance in Greenville, South Carolina. The owner is a friend of the show and a friend of mine, Jay Keller. He deals with every form of insurance, from personal to commercial, and will take excellent care of you and your insurance needs. Give him a call for a quote today, 864-533-3350, or visit his website at www.spartaninsure.com. Welcome back. Welcome back. It is Wednesday, so y'all know what time it is. It's Web3 Putts. Got your host here, Cole, co-host Rusty. How are we tonight?
Wonderful. Just coming off of what started out to be a shitty U.S. Open turned into kind of what I expected. Not the winner I expected, but good tournament. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Got a great tournament coming up with the Travelers and some big Web3 news.
Ooh, okay. A lot to dive into, it sounds like.
Yeah. I mean, it's, the corner's turning, I think. I mean, we can start with that if you want, since it's going to be quick.
Yeah, let's hit Web3. I've got a lot to talk about on the Open, a lot of thoughts there, but yeah, let's kick it off with Web3.
So the Fed, Jerome Powell, the leader of the Fed today, said that stable coins are a form of currency.
Oh, really?
And what that did was shot everything up.
Yeah.
Nice. Bitcoin's over 30,000.
Wow.
ETH is at 1,900.
Okay.
I mean, everything was up. Shiba Inu was up. Flow is up 17%. Pepe? Even though that's not a stable coin, it's a shit coin, but or a meme coin, whatever you want to call it.
A very shit coin, yeah.
That was up like 18% at one point today.
Okay.
When he says that it has staying power, quote unquote, we do see payments stable coins as a form of money, adding that the ultimate source of credibility in money is in the central bank, obviously, but there's staying power with the coins. So finally some good news from our government, from the Fed. Obviously last week, I think they started to putting a halt on raising interest rates.
Yep.
And don't really see that anymore in the foreseeable future, hopefully.
Inflation's steadily dropping because of that.
What's that?
Inflation's going down because of the pausing of the interest rates rising with the Fed, so that's good.
Yeah, I mean, all good news, finally. We haven't had any good news in the Web3 space or even financial space for a long time. So good news. BlackRock, WisdomTree, Invesco ETF filings happened in the U.S., which was kind of what put Bitcoin above 29,000, got to 3,000 or 30,000 earlier. So hopefully this is a way back for everything, but you know, it could all change, you know, get off Twitter for 24 hours and come back and boom, we're back down to 1500 ETH and
yeah,
Bitcoin's at 2600 and just, you know, not, who knows? It's can't live and die every day.
So I got a little more information on some stuff here too in Web3. I don't know if you've been following the XRP case.
Nope.
So there, the former director of the SEC, Bill Hinman, he's Long the one Bill. That gave big Bill. He's the one that gave clearance to Bitcoin and Ethereum, saying that they were not securities back when he was in, which caused them to skyrocket way up, you know, a year or two ago, whenever that happened. And XRP's main case is that they were basically, you know, giving all this clarity to Bitcoin, Ethereum. Why is XRP in a lawsuit saying it's not a, or it is a security when these other cryptos are not a security? And apparently he has a lot of emails, Hinman does, where I guess basically he was in on or with the people that were making all the money in Bitcoin and Ethereum. And so those emails were just released last week in the case, which if they say as it goes, if they're as damaging as they're supposed to be, then the judge should probably rule in XRP's favor and shut the case down.
So can you expound a little bit for those listeners, if you can at the moment, if we need to do it next time, that's fine. But the difference between securities and not securities, what do we want? What as an XRP holder, what are we looking for here?
Basically, you just want clarity, you know. So a security would, so not security is what currently what Ethereum and Bitcoin is classified under. And that's why you're allowed to trade it. It's the same thing like a stock. Trading securities is a taxable event. There's a lot of stipulations and government regulations that come along with trading securities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're trying to avoid. And they basically were saying there was insider trading in XRP because it was a security and all the higher-ups were trading it based on insider information, when if it's not a security, then you can technically still trade it. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
No, I mean, yeah, I guess on like an elementary level, that makes sense. But we're not financial advisors, so there's no sense in diving too deep into it. Do your own research. Understand it. The way you understand it, I think, is the best way to go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a security versus a not security is just basically boils down to how you can trade the asset. So like securities are subject to the pre-clearance and reporting. So any transactions or holdings, basically you're required in a bunch of rules to report on assets and cryptos that are not securities are not subject to those terms. So, you know, there's a lot of tax implications basically between the two.
Right. Okay. Clear as mud.
Yeah.
From the Web3 side though, like the NFT world, Maki Big Brother sold 14 apes today.
Mm. Okay. So
I don't know how many that person has. I mean, it's unbelievable. What he was probably, he or she, I guess he.
I think it's
Big Brother, I would say, but we don't know in 2023.
Yeah. He's both.
Was what, the biggest holder of apes?
He was at one point, yeah.
And now just liquidating, sold it for, there's 14, I believe, for 550 ETH.
Mm.
So it was like $1 million.
Stupid.
Which sounds great, but you don't know what it bought it for, you know?
True. Yeah, I mean, if he bought it in the last year, probably a lot more than that.
For sure.
But he's made so much money on all that other stuff, he's probably just tax harvesting, honestly.
Could be.
You know, just to get some liquid. I mean, he's probably just reinvesting it in something else.
Probably not NFTs.
I did see some big news with Mercedes today that they're trying to integrate NFTs onto their car displays, like the main display in your car.
Really?
Or I guess you can just display your NFTs across the home screen or something if you want to.
Hmm.
I don't really.
So it makes you wonder, all these companies getting into it that are still getting into it, Mercedes, Porsche, Louis Vuitton just had a big deal out in France this week at the Cannes, something or another. I don't know. I'm not that in depth into it, but there's obviously some use for it, right? So do I think that it'll be what it was? Probably not. But there's got to be something. There's a reason that these companies are investing in it.
Yeah, I mean, the use case is still there, right? Right now, we're still in the collectibles phase. And, you know, the higher end ones, like Gary was saying, forever, then, you know, the 1% that make it are going to be worth something. And eventually, these companies are going to use the technology for whatever it may be. Like the backbone of NFTs is still a very valid technology, and it'll be around for a long time. You know, it's kind of revolutionary as the internet was back in the day, but the way that you use it currently is not the way that it'll be used mass across, you know, the world and with mass population.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's that whole going to you kind of what you just said, utility is going to overtake collectability at some point if it hasn't already. But like, I still don't know one single person. Well, let me rephrase this. I don't know very many people that shop it, that go to Starbucks like all the time.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of them out there. But I don't know anybody that's like, oh, I got the Starbucks NFT.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it'd be like back in the day when you first got the internet, you know, people were using it for the library and Wikipedia and, you know, to chat with Messenger every now and then. And now the internet is something completely different, right? It's not what the early stages of the internet, what people thought it was going to be. So that's kind of where we're at. Very, very early stages. You know, the collectibles will be a thing forever because collectibles are big, no matter, you know, what kind of industry you're really talking about. But the technology is here to stay, and it'll be used in a way that we're not even thinking about right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it's crazy to continue to say a year, well, I mean, into our journey, we're almost, what, a year to our first episode? We're closing in on it?
Are we? I haven't even paid attention. Maybe.
Come on, man. You're the one you're the date guy here. You're the one that's supposed to know all this stuff.
I think it was late last year when we started this.
But no, I could it, be had a, it was like July.
Okay. Well, I'll take your word for it. I'll research and we'll put the notes in there later.
Yeah. You said July 1st was going to be our first like practice episode.
That is right. That is right. I do remember this now.
And yep. I think maybe it was like July 9th or something like that. Cause July 1st is my birthday coming up. Everybody send me some wishes on Twitter at RussRuss15.
Shout out to the dog.
Send me some ETH. But yeah, it was somewhere right around then. But yeah, I mean, even then we were preaching, we're still early.
Mm-hmm.
We're still early. I mean, almost feels like we're earlier now than we were last year.
Yeah. Because a lot of people got out of it. You know, the hype's not there.
Exactly.
The hype's not there, but you know, I think things are still going, you know, if you're in some of those communities, I haven't really had the time to. It's something you got to watch a lot and pay attention to every day. And I really haven't had the time or made the time to lately, but you know, it's not going anywhere. It's just not as, the hype and speculation trades really aren't what they were.
That's right. And I think, you know, hopefully with, you know, everything had been just derailed so much by what's his name, SBF.
Yeah,
that derailed so much. You know, I also don't really know how great all the Super Bowl stuff was for NFTs and crypto back in, what was that, 2021 Super Bowl when it was in LA?
Yeah, I don't think it went well at all.
And it kind of just kept throwing it in people's faces. Mm-hmm. And maybe had a negative effect on everything.
Good.
You know, because it was always like that tight-knit community and kind of like if you know, you know. And then you spread it out to the masses. And sometimes that's not always, you know, the best case scenario. Keep your niche focus and then slowly build it into bring people in.
Yeah, sure.
You know, this is all, I'm just theorizing here, but you know, it basically after that, everything started to crash. And, but you know, it's still fun. It's still enjoyable.
If you like collectibles, right? If you collect anything, you would enjoy it. You know, it still has that aura about it. If you're a collector of anything, you would, you know, probably something to look at. It's not for everybody, but again, you know, it's just so early that long term that the technology is going to be so different and how we'll view NFTs, even if that's what they're even called here in the next year or two.
Yeah, I mean, at some point they're going to have to become like, what, digital collectibles?
Something, you know, I don't know what it is, and I don't know what, but yeah, like you were saying earlier, the utility is going to become forefront, and these massive companies that are using it are going to be using it for things that we're not even seeing right now.
That's right. That's right.
TBD, really. A lot of TBD.
Yep, for sure.
Golf.
Let's get back to what this is all about.
Let's get back to the meat.
We can talk NFTs like after the FedEx Cup, you know, and discuss all that sort of stuff. But right now is the heart of golf season.
Flying by. It's crazy.
It's so weird, man. Like it used to feel like the golf season just drug on.
It did, yeah.
And now it's like almost like slow down.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe they already played three majors after this weekend.
See, part of me says, oh, it's awesome that we have April, May, June, July for the majors.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, it shortens the season so much and it cramps it all in. Kind of like what we talked about last time. Like these guys have to be tired.
Yeah.
I mean, the top players that are playing this week in the Travelers all played in the U.S. Open last week at LACC.
Yeah.
Had to fly across country to play in a designated event. You know, it's just, you just wonder if you're really seeing the best golf product out there week in and week out.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe things will change. I know we haven't had a pod since the big news, but you know, maybe with the merger and all, or whatever it is, that they'll think about it differently. Since they are bringing the kind of the live aspect, or it'll be part of it technically, if it's still a thing.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't honestly think not doing a pod, was it last week? Or have we not done one for 2 weeks?
I think it was 2 weeks. I think it was two weeks,
yeah. But, you know, I know we were texting when the news came out. I was driving around Richmond, Virginia for work, and it came and I stopped. Like I was at a dead standstill in between a couple meetings. And I pulled over at a gas station. I just sat on my phone on Twitter for like 20 minutes, just scrolling. And the first thing I saw was like a retweet from somebody from Golf Channel, not Brando, because he was crying. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, nah, no way. Kind of what I think a lot of the pros, the tour guys were like, no, this is fake. This is something on The Onion. Mm-hmm. But then I just sat there and it just kept coming up. And, you know, it was what, CNBC was the one that reported it. Or yeah. MSNBC, one of the two. CNBC, I think.
CNBC.
Yeah, and which was kind of weird that it wasn't leaked to the Golf Channel first, or, you know, they didn't do it that way.
Yeah.
But I just sat there, man, and, like, after I tried to get – so hopefully no one from work is listening, but try to get my meetings done quick so I can get in the car and scroll Twitter.
Yeah.
And just to – but there's literally been no news since that day. That day we got the news and – it's not like anyone's ever, we haven't, you know, us not discussing it, we haven't missed anything.
Yeah, nobody knows anything really. You know, it's still, the deal has to go through, and a lot of people are opposed to it on the legal side of things with, you know, senators and congressmen and all that. And
I think that's bullshit.
Yeah, still got to go through that process though. Like, so, right. You know, nothing's set in stone. No one really knows what's going to happen. Basically, they just laid something out there for the players. It obviously shocked a lot of them. And all you see right now is them being interviewed with their thoughts. You know, it's, everybody has an opinion. And I saw Tom Watson wrote a letter. Was it yesterday or today?
Yeah, fuck. I mean, just Tom Watson, just go away. I mean, you did a great for golf, and you've designed some good golf courses, and, you know, you're a major champion 5 or 6 times, whatever it is. But, you know, like, just go away. Let golf – this is good for golf, regardless of what you feel about LIV, what you feel about the PGA Tour. An influx of money, regardless of where it's coming from, is a positive for golf. It's a positive for the players. Now, I've really been thinking about the whole, and I say this as someone who has never been put in the position at all, right? But they keep asking these guys like Rory and Matthew Fitzpatrick and Rahm and these guys that did not take the money. Rory claims he never was offered, which is probably true. He probably just told him no from the very beginning. But should they be at some point compensated for not taking it? What is your thought on that? Because I have my thought on how I would handle it today. But again, never been put in that position, so I don't know
how you would handle it as the commissioner or as the player.
How I would handle it as a player that had the potential to go to live for a lump sum of money.
Mm-hmm. But I think they did say they're going to pay like Rory and Tiger and some of those guys, right?
I think that's all speculation. I don't think that there's like any, kind of going back to what we just said, like there's nothing out there that says, you know, I read that there was the PIF is putting together a fund for those players. But like, how would you handle that? Again, not ever having the opportunity, but hypothetically, like, would you expect to get a paycheck for be compensated for it or what?
I think it depends who you are, right? So if I'm Rory McIlroy or I'm Tiger Woods and I am the tour, basically you're the face of the tour and you turn down all this money so that you could uphold the tour, do all this stuff for the tour. Cause that's a game changer. If one of those guys goes, then, you know, that's your, probably a lot of people are following number one, and number two, you're going to crash the PGA Tour. So if I'm one of those guys and I put my neck out there, like Rory did, talking, and he was the face of the tour and, you know, didn't take the money, then I'm probably pretty upset. You know, I would probably want some kind of, compensation for it. If I'm just a mule, one of the, you know, the nobodies, then, you know, you had your chance to take the money, you didn't, then, you know, at the end of the day, that's your fault. But so I think it's, you know, two sides of the coin, kind of depending on who you are and how outspoken you were about it. You know, if you defended the tour, you defended Monahan, you did all this, and then, you know, without you knowing, just get the rug pulled out from under you, I'm probably pretty upset. I would want something.
Well, you're getting something. You're getting an influx of money that's going to make you so much more money.
True, but you still got to play well to get the most of the money.
Yeah, but I mean, you're Rory, you're going to make the money.
Yeah,
you're Rahm, you're going to make the money. I don't think Rahm's ever said anything about he expects to be compensated.
But, no, I don't think Rahm really cares. He kind of sounded like he might be done.
Yeah, I know. His press conference today was yesterday, he was like, look, I can't control it. And yeah.
Yeah. I read some stuff about Ron that he might quit the tour in general, just quit. Now, this is all speculation, but
there was speculation out there that he was already in talks with Liv to go there. I read that. But again, who knows? It's fucking Twitter, man. Like, who knows what's credible and what's not? Like, I don't. But kind of getting back to that thing. And again, this is you know, June 21st, never had the opportunity, never would have had the opportunity personally. But in my take, it's like, look, I chose not to take the money. That's on me for not taking the money.
Sure. I mean, you can't punish the other guys for doing it, right? I don't think you can punish them for taking it. If you're going
to
welcome
them. That's the other thing, man. Like, these penalties to get back onto the tour. Come on, man. Fuck off. Like, Rory saying, I hate Liv. Like, motherfucker, like, who cares? Why do you hate Liv? You don't hate Liv. You hate Greg Norman. That's what you hate. Because if you hate Liv, then you also hate to hate Liv right now in that terms, in my opinion, is to hate the Piff and to hate Yasser. Mm-hmm. Is to hate that, because that money is what funded Liv. So you can hate Liv all you want, but you are also hating on the Piff and whatnot, right? So,
and your new commissioner.
Your new chairman, the guy that's gonna be chairman, over whatever. The whole thing. I mean,
yeah.
Monahan's gonna be the CEO, but you can't say that you hate, by saying you hate Liv, you're saying you hate where this new money influx of money is coming from.
Yeah. So in your stance would be that you had your opportunity to take the money. That's too bad.
Yep. But guess what? You're still going to end up winning in the long run.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that.
So it's not like you took the money and the Piff bought the PGA Tour and said, if you didn't take the money in the first place, you're done. You know, you're not losing out on any, you're not losing out. Yeah. You lost out on the big payday at the beginning. Because of, you know, for whatever reason, and guys have their own reasons, you know, whether it's morally, whether it's, hey, I love the PGA Tour, or this is what I want to be with. But it also goes back to, like, if Greg Norman wasn't part of Liv, and let's say it was Gary Player, who was sponsored by Saudi Arabia, or Jack Nicklaus, because apparently Jack got offered $100 million to be the commissioner of, to have Greg Norman's job, basically.
Oh, really? Wow.
According to him. Would you hate Liv then? No, I don't think you would. You're not going to hate – you. No one hates – I mean, Jack is annoying, but they're not going to hate Jack.
Yeah.
Just come out and say you hate Greg Norman, which they pretty much have already. And that's fair. Like, that's fine. But to get up on your soapbox and say, I hate Liv, like, buddy – the people that are going to be bringing money to you are the same people that brought all that money to Liv.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. And, you know, but I could see why they're upset at the same time after they, you know, basically we're riding for Monahan the whole time and then he just rugs them. You know, I see it from both sides.
Yeah. And I definitely feel for Rory in a sense because, and agree that he was the sacrificial lamb, that, you know, he went out, he talked about it all the time. He suffered as a golfer for sure, the last year and a half. And,
taking a toll on him.
I definitely feel for him. It took a toll on him, probably personally as well as professionally.
Yeah.
More than anybody. Who's to say that it hasn't taken a toll on, like, Justin Thomas, who can't, you know, break 80 at the U.S. Open.
Yeah. Poor guy.
Like, it could have taken a toll on him. All these guys that had to answer the questions every single week.
Right.
You know, it's no real shock to me that, like, you see these majors this year. And, you know, Rory played really well this last week. But, you know, Brooks should have possibly won the Masters.
Yeah, he definitely should have.
You know, Phil finished second. These guys that aren't answering these questions every single week from the media, you know, they're playing free and they're not worn out by it. And yeah, you could say that the schedule or whatnot, but it's not a shock that the Liv guys have had pretty good success in the majors relative to the amount of players that are in the events and also the 48 guys that are on Liv. Yeah. I mean, this past week you had Cameron Smith finishing fourth. You had
Bryson was up there.
DJ top 10. Bryson was up there. What is he? He was top 20, I think.
He started the final round.
He finished tied for 20th.
Yeah.
Brooks tied for 17th. So it's really no shock that these guys are they weren't having to answer these questions week after week after week, and it took a toll on them. And yeah, of course you feel like the rug got pulled out from under you. You feel like everything you just did for the last year and a half was for nothing.
Yeah.
Not to mention, not just in the media, but the stuff they did behind closed doors, the phone calls that they're on their off weeks for 6-7 hours a day.
Meetings.
I mean, it was like another full-time job.
Recruiting Solutions. Stay ahead of the hire. Recruiting Solutions is a full-service staffing, temp, employment, and recruitment agency with offices located in Greenville, Columbia, and Florence, South Carolina. With over 8 years of consecutive top 25 companies to work for in South Carolina, Forbes Top 100 Professional Recruiting, Forbes Top 100 Staffing Agency, and over 30 years in business. Whether you're looking for your next employee or your next career, give Recruiting Solutions a call. Can we talk about Rory for a minute? You're a Rory guy, right? You like Rory?
So,
on the course, not his thoughts or anything on golf.
So I love watching Rory play. Yeah. I love his golf swing. I do. I enjoy watching him play golf. Do I want him to win another major other than the Masters? No. Do I want him to win another tournament other than the Masters? Could not care less.
Okay.
Will I root against Rory? Probably like 80% of the time.
Who were you cheering? Who did you want to win Sunday?
Well, I wanted Fowler to win. And I think we talked about it early in the pods. Like, I think Ricky might be one of those players out, maybe one of the number one players that I want to see win a major.
Yeah, God, he was so close. He was so close. Just couldn't do it on Sunday.
No, and you kind of had to see it. I mean, he started leaking oil Friday or Saturday after evening, till what, damn near midnight when the
well, he had the most birdies, but he also had the most bogeys. So, like, eventually the putter's not going to stay that hot, you know?
Yep. Yeah, I was rooting for Ricky going down, like, to start, but then, you know, as it got down to the wire, Wyndham Clark winning was cool.
See, I didn't like it.
Why?
I don't know. I don't have a problem with Wyndham Clark. I just didn't like that he first of all, he ballooned one out of the stratosphere on 18. That ball should have been, he hit it on the heel. Heels one. And luckily, it's a 60-yard wide fairway. And he still gets up, like, you know, he should have made bogey on 18 probably with that drive.
For sure. But you could also say that Rory on 17 the same day, he ended up making par, but not birdie. But 17, he hooked it way left into the adjoining fairway on the other side.
Yeah.
But then I was told later that Bryson did that every single day. He just blasted it way left.
Okay.
Because it would give you a clear angle at the green.
Yeah.
It basically made your fairway, instead of 50 yards wide, 100 yards wide.
See, it doesn't bother me as much. I mean, he didn't hit that bad of a shot. Right? He pulled it left a little bit, but I don't know. I wanted Ricky to win at first, and then when he was falling apart, after all that Rory had, you know, trying to win another major and all, it's been, what, 9, 10 years, whatever. I was like, God, you know, hopefully pull for him, but it makes a birdie on one, and then the putter's just ice cold. It's the same story that we saw last year at the Open. Like, you got to be able to make a putt down the stretch.
That's right.
And he made nothing.
But he also didn't give himself a ton of chances for birdie either. I mean, he was 25, 30 feet away on every pin.
Yeah, you got to go at the pins a little bit. I know he's trying to play, you know, conservative. The greens are rock hard, you know, late on Sunday. I get it. But at some point, you got to be aggressive. You know, I feel like if you watched Tiger Woods back in the day, that dude was going after it. He was going to go out there and win the tournament. You know, he didn't sit there and just play for par in the final round. unless he was up by 8 strokes or something. But
right, like he would be conservative when he had to be, but he would also put his
Not when he was down. You know, on right. the last couple, like you got to fire at the pins a couple of times and take the win, not hope for the other guy to screw up and you sneak in there. I don't know. He wasn't. I don't think he was near aggressive enough, and he just can't make a putt on Sunday. He's done it over and over. I don't know what it is.
What do you think about the golf course?
I don't think TV did it enough justice. Like, I know some guys that have played it and, you know, have said it's immaculate, it's unbelievable, you know, one of the best courses ever. But I don't think the coverage really showed it like they should. And I think the golf course was fine. You know, like you said, that if you watch it the first day, you're like, oh, God, they're going to kill this course. And then, eight, ten under, whatever. And then they never dropped another shot. You know, stayed right there the next 3 days. So I didn't love it, but, you know, I thought it was a good track. It was fun to watch. I did not like that the fans, the scenery was terrible. The crowds were small. You couldn't, there was nobody cheering, like.
I told one of my buddies that the fan atmosphere of it felt, until I would say like the last 4 holes
yep.
of the event, when everybody that was on the golf course kind of came to the same spot finally.
Yeah.
And they realized that it was basically a 2-horse race, the last 4 holes between Rory and Wyndham.
Yeah.
It felt all week like one of the majors from, like 2020 during COVID, when they had no fans or limited fans or just members.
Yeah.
That sort of deal. Like
it was felt terrible.
Yeah. It was
like, what was it? Saturday, Ricky makes that bomb. I think it was on 13 and you could barely hear one person clapping.
Right.
You know, the atmosphere was terrible. And I heard that, I don't know, how, you know, again, speculation, but Twitter, I heard that LACC tried to buy all the tickets.
Well, yeah, there were, I think, 9,000 tickets a day available for, like, you could buy through the USGA. Mm-hmm. And they bought 4,000 or 5,000 of the 9,000 each day.
Yeah. So, like, you know, boss move on their part, but you got to be able to host more people. I just didn't, the atmosphere didn't do it for me. The course was fine. There was a few holes that, yeah, but I thought the par threes were great. What was the hole? Was it 3 where everything funneled to the same spot and there was everybody's divot right there? That
right.
Maybe I can't remember. But yeah, I didn't like
that.
Yeah,
that was stupid. That was
that and 8. They the ball all like went to the same spot no matter where.
It didn't matter what you hit off the tee. Like you hit 3-iron or you hit driver or 3-wood, it's going to the same spot.
Yeah, so I didn't. You know, there's a few holes like that that I didn't favor. 15 was kind of a letdown, in my opinion. You know, they acted like they're going to have to lay up on this par 3 from 80 yards. Yeah. And I think 95% hit the green that day. There was like 2 bogeys.
Yeah, they were talking earlier in the week that if you hit a wedge in there low, it's going to skip, take, especially for the Saturday pin, I guess, right? The 80-yard shot.
Yeah.
That it was going to if you went at the flag, it would skip, hit once and then skip into the back bunker.
Yeah.
I didn't see anybody do that.
The only person that they even showed us on the bunker was DJ, and he was in the front bunker.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. But everybody just played out left.
Yeah, you play it left, you suck it back to the hole. It wasn't even that difficult.
I know.
They were raving about how hard it was going to be. Ricky said he was going to lay up.
Yeah, he was going to hit it to the right.
Yeah, and I think the wind maybe caused a little bit of that too. Like there was no wind, and it was kind of soft still. So
wonder if it was firmer during practice rounds than it actually was for the
event. Could have been. The marine layer was just hovering. How many times did they say marine layer? they said that one more time, I was going to throw the remote at the TV.
If you're the USGA and you know that there's going to be a marine layer, like it's guaranteed almost every day in California.
Do something.
At least near the coast.
Yeah.
Then don't water the golf course the night before as much as you have been.
Right.
There's no reason to do it. No. Let this place firm up. If this place played firm and fast. If it played like Sunday, even though the scores were not like that terrible Sunday, they weren't.
Well, Tommy
great.
Fleetwood went ham.
Fleetwood went off, right? But everybody else was around, right around even par. Even, you know, you could say Friday afternoon till Sunday at the final, right? If the golf course played that way, I think you've got a different, you know, different winning score, probably a different winner too. Like,
yeah,
Wyndham Clark doesn't, in my opinion, does not win this golf tournament if 4-under is the winner.
Yeah.
Rory very well could have, but I think then you bring in the top players at 4-under, like DJ, Koepka for sure, Koepka, Rahm, you know, where pars are, you know, Ricky's probably not there.
No.
You know, I mean, he's been playing really, really well this year, but like nothing, he hasn't contended once except for this week. And I wouldn't even say that he contended.
On Sunday, he was done after the first two, three holes.
Yeah, like he was, obviously tied for the lead or leading after the first three rounds, but he wasn't in contention coming, getting to number 10 on Sunday.
No.
But yeah, if I guess the luck of the draw too, like the guys that most of the guys that played early on Thursday, that's where those low scores were.
Yeah.
I know Wyndham Clark, I think, played in the afternoon, shot 66, but 64 on Friday. But, you know, even at 6-under going into round two, he was at 9. So he had late early. So yeah, late, you know, I don't know. Maybe he still won.
Credit to him, because he got up and down from everywhere on Sunday. There were several times I was like, here it is. He's going to blow it. You know, he's going to choke right here. And he hit some amazing chip shots from where he was dead.
Yep.
And I'm thinking there's no way he makes a par from here. What was it on 8 where he couldn't even see his ball and then he flies it over the green? Makes bogey, but like could have been worse there.
Well, that chip coming back after he basically whiffed. Well, I guess he did whiff.
To 2 feet.
One. Yeah, and then he hit it over the green. That chip back to the pin was amazing. And then that 3-wood he hit on 14.
Wow, that was
after Rory just made bogey.
Yeah.
With a questionable drop.
yeah, drop it. I'm thinking like, okay, he's going to knock it in here. Just got a break of a lifetime. Makes bogey. Like that was he lost the tournament right there.
Yep. Yeah. Especially when Clark hit it to 20 feet with an amazing 3-wood.
He had a chance on 15 to make birdie too. Just didn't even touch the hole.
Yep.
But yeah, credit to Wyndham Clark, man. He got up and down the chip shot out of the rough on 9. We brought it back down the hill. It was good.
Yeah. When Zinger was saying he's got no shot.
Yeah.
This is a terrible play. And I mean, Twitter is, you know, a lot of hype about how bad Zinger was on that one. That
yeah. Sure. I don't mind Zinger, but some of the NBC commentary was not the best. And the cameras were not good. Like you missed a lot of key stuff.
And commercials. Jesus.
Commercials, God, was killing me.
At least on Sunday, they did that like final round. Last hour, last 2 hours, no commercials. But yeah, it was. I thought it was a good open. I said on Friday afternoon to my buddies, I'm like, this course is a joke, kind of tongue in cheek, because the course I don't think was a joke. I was really saying like the setup was a joke. Because the golf course to me, I thought was awesome. Like I would love to play that. I mean, we could say that about like 90% of tour courses, but like it would be a bucket list golf course. Like I'd fly to Sanford or to LA and I'd pay $500 to play this golf course if I had
easily,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I can't say that about TPC River Highlands, or I can't say that about, you know, I wouldn't even drive 3 hours to Hilton Head and play,
Harbortown
and pay $500. Like I'm not doing it. Sorry. But unless they, you know, Harbortown, if you want to hook us up, we'll shoot some videos out there for sure.
Yeah. All at your boys.
but yeah, I mean, I thought the golf course was awesome. The architecture was awesome. There's a couple things out there that to me were like, why? Like 17, that bunker down the left that everyone just aimed at.
Yeah.
Nobody hit it into that bunker, got even close to that bunker all week. So what's the point of it? Either bring it back 20 yards or just do something else, you know?
They acted like it was going to be so firm, people were going to roll it in there, and it never got there, you know?
But it
like,
was firm, and no one could even get there.
Yeah.
You know, Rory was like 25 yards short of it. Well, no, actually, that was the whole – he went way left. But Wyndham Clark bombs it,
yeah,
and he was 25 yards short of it.
Yeah, that one was bad. Then they needed to put – I think they needed to do something about 18. Like, maybe put a bunker out there, you know, that you can't just
– Yeah, pretty boring finishing hole.
Terrible. That's the worst finishing hole at the Open I've seen.
Yeah, it was trash.
You know, those guys don't have any pressure to hit the fairway on 18. Really no pressure the whole tournament to hit a fairway. Oh, they're also wide.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, this golf course could have been one of the top golf courses I've ever seen for a U.S. Open. If the fairways were, instead of were like 58 yards wide, they were 35 yards wide or even 40 yards wide.
I heard they tried to do it. Like, LACC was trying to, and the USGA said no and cut the grass. They were trying to bring it in.
So if we're going to do if we're going to play this conspiracy theory card here, a follower that I do on Instagram, the Country Club Connection or Country Club
Collective.
There you go.
Yeah.
He put out a tweet with a screenshot from a guy from because he's got connections to tour players and a lot of Korn Ferry guys too, but he put out a tweet of a screenshot of a text message from a player in this year's U.S. Open that said the PGA Tour or the USGA is doing this on purpose to further advance the conversation that the ball needs to be rolled back. So they're saying they're putting it out there that on a 7,400 yard par 70 golf course, if the ball rolled back, we wouldn't have a 10 underscore.
Maybe.
But by doing that, they said, okay, we'll make the fairways 58 yards wide.
Yeah, I mean, anybody can hit that fairway.
We'll have the green soft. We'll water them all week. We'll add in the marine layer we know we're going to get because we've been out here studying this golf course right? for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's true, but I think there's some merit to it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past, again, let me put it this way. Any of the golf governing bodies, I wouldn't put it past them that they're going to be corrupt.
Sure.
Any governing body we have in this world.
They're all corrupt. Yeah, I could definitely see it. I don't know if you watched, I think it was after the Open Thursday night. They were talking to the USGA guy. They were interviewed Shambly was. And he kept saying that, you know, they're going to try to.
Probably.
They're going to try to make it harder for them, but they didn't want to lose the golf course, and they wanted to set it up the way that the architects meant for it to be played, and yada, yada, yada. But, and, you know, I just didn't – I don't know. If the fairways are that wide, then you have to do something else to make it harder.
Yep.
Because there's no pressure off the tee. And they kept saying, well, you got to play the angles out here, the angles. Doesn't matter if you hit it 350 yards. The angle is irrelevant. If you got 100 yards left, no one needs an angle from there. The pros don't need an angle from 100 yards for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think the USGA, they screwed up Thursday. I'll say that. I don't know. I can't say they screwed up Saturday, Sunday, but they screwed up going into the event on Thursday.
Yeah.
Trying to be too protective of it. And maybe you could say 3 years ago when they decided that they were going to have 58-yard fairways.
Right. Yeah, something. Something.
Right. And if they're 40 yards on average instead of 55 or whatever it is.
At least makes them think.
It does. And you're not getting a 10-under winner. Sorry, yeah. You're not. Because Wyndham Clark ain't winning based off of this event right here, because that ball on 18 is in a rough. If that's in 15, you know, 8 yards, 8.5 yards, 7.5 yards.
He's out of bounds on any normal hole, any golf course.
Yep. So I don't know. I just
he Mito Piera that thing.
pretty close. I'm not a huge fan of like what the USGA is doing with the US Open.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah, like you said, it was a great golf course. I would love to play it, but it didn't do it for me for a US Open.
Yeah. Like when my buddy texted me, he was like, this reminds me of like a US Open mixed with a British Open. And I'm like, okay, I agree with that. But guess what? This is the US fucking Open, not the British Open.
Yeah.
So why are we trying to make our major championship, our national championship, look like the national championship for Europe? Yeah. Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's because they're all scared of what happened at Shinnecock, and they lost the golf course, lost the greens on some of the most severe greens in the world.
Yeah.
With thick rough, where they couldn't handle it, and the PGA Tour or the players bitched about it. Well, guess what? Everyone's playing the same golf course.
Right. They're all going to bitch no matter what. No matter how you set it up, someone's going to bitch.
Yeah. I don't know. It was a good Open, U.S. Open, I think. Could have been a lot better, but I have no regrets staying up way past my bedtime.
Yeah,
night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night to watch it. Like, I would do it again every week.
For sure. I enjoyed it. It didn't blow me away.
Right.
What about the Travelers this week?
Kind of back what I said, 2 weeks ago and what I said earlier today, like, or in this pod. I just don't know how some of these guys have energy, I think is not the right word. How they have the focus after coming off of last week.
Shoffley, last year winner. I think
that's the only thing he can win is those events.
Dude, talk about a complete blow up. Ties the record at a U.S. Open on Thursday and then doesn't shoot under par the rest of the time.
Every single time it happens to him.
I mean, it's hard to watch.
Like, you can't, if you bet on Xander to win a major, like, you're just, it's like getting into Web3 or NFT. It's like getting into NFT.
You're
like,
done.
You're just lighting it, just might as well light it on fire.
Gaslight.
Just can't.
Any favorites this week?
You know what? I didn't even look at the odds. Do you have them in front of you?
I don't, but I can pull them up. Let me pull up the betting odds. So while we're talking this, so I had a bet last week on the Open before it started. I picked that over the 4 days, Koepka would beat Rahm head to head. I'm winning every day till day three. He's up. I think Koepka was even. Rahm is 3 over going into Sunday.
Yeah, that's right.
Rahm shoots five under round and beats him on the last day. I was so mad. Lost that one.
I was actually, honestly, I was shocked that Brooks shot under par on Sunday.
Yeah, I figured he was just going to hang it up. Like, he's not in the contention. He probably just was going to go out there and get it over with, right?
Yeah, like, even Saturday, like, he was after the front nine, knowing that he just didn't have it. He wasn't going to get there. I'm actually shocked that he didn't just hang it up, shoot 75, 75, and then
get out of there.
Get on a plane to Vegas with his pregnant wife right now.
All right, I've got some different bets here. Let's just rapid fire. Okay. I'll get to the winners, but Big Eight win the Travelers. That's Scotty Scheffler, Cantley, Rory, Rahm, Shoffley, Hovland, Morikawa, or Fleetwood. -110. Big Eight win or don't win.
-110 to win.
Yep.
And to lose.
Yep.
Is -110 also?
Yep. So one of those eight wins or one of those eight does not.
I would do does not win.
Okay, interesting. All right. Scotty Scheffler.
Scotty winning this week. I really could.
Scotty Scheffler finishing position. Ninth or better, -130. 10th or worse, +108. He hadn't finished outside the top 10 in so long.
I know. So then, me as a gambler, I would say I would take outside of the top 10.
Yeah.
Because it's got to happen.
His putter is a wreck. It's bound to happen soon. Patrick Cantlay finishing position. 13th or better, minus 115. 14th or worse, minus 105.
Better. This seems like a golf tournament for him.
Yeah, I could see that. I think he last year he was T13, so that's right what the bet line is.
But now he's got LaCava on the bag, so hopefully that'll help. Okay. Although I don't know when the last time LaCava saw this golf course, because Tiger never played it. So
that's true. Yeah. John Rahm, 13th or better, 14th or worse, minus 115, minus 105.
Better.
I like that. He finished strong on Sunday. He might be bringing a little something. Rory McIlroy, 15th or better, 16th or worse.
Better.
Yeah, his game is good. He just can't really.
Yeah.
He has one or two stupid shots. Like that wedge on 14 was so bad.
Oh yeah, and made bogey.
Yeah. I mean, you can't hit it into that bunker. You got to be long, and he shorted it.
Right.
These are kind of, here this is a good one. I can't ever figure this guy out. Tony Finau, 26th or better, minus 140, 27th or worse, plus 115.
I would put a lot of money if we could gamble legally here in South Carolina on 26th or better.
On Tony?
Yes.
He had a decent showing at the Open. I've been betting against him a lot lately and winning, though. Mm. Ricky Fowler, 31st or better, minus 120, 32nd or worse, plus 100.
Worse.
Wow. All right. I'm going to give you the odds for the tourney.
I have them here.
Okay, you got him there.
Yeah. I like Cantlay at plus 1,100.
Yeah, okay.
Was he in the Big Eight?
He was.
I still like that bet. I like Finau at... FanDuel's got him at plus
2,800. What I see. Okay. Let's do... Let's do some matchups for tomorrow's round.
Okay.
Rapid fire. Here we go. Scottie Scheffler versus Patrick Cantlay. Scheffler's minus 155. Cantlay plus 115. I assume you're going to pick Cantlay here because you just picked him to win.
Yep.
So you're taking the plus 115 on Cantlay just for Thursday. This is just tomorrow.
Correct.
McIlroy versus Rahm. McIlroy's minus 105. Rahm minus 125.
Rory.
Mm, okay. I'm assuming you're going to pick Rory here, too. Rory versus Xander. Minus 120, Rory. Xander, minus 110.
Xander.
Ooh. Interesting matchup here. Sungjae v. Tommy Fleetwood. Both minus 115.
Well, I don't know this for a fact, but I would assume as much as he plays golf, Sungjae also played the Canadian Open. So this is three in a row at the least for him. He could have played every event before that. I don't know for a fact. Three in a row for Tommy. At least. I don't know if he played the week before.
Tommy's
Memorial, right? It was Memorial. So they both played. So at least four in a row for both. So I'm going to go with Sungjae. And okay.
Because
he's used to this type of grind.
Okay, the grinder. This guy I can't figure out. Cam Young versus Jason Day. Young is minus 110, Day minus 120.
I can't figure out Cam Young either. He hits the ball so well. I think I talked about it after being at the Wells Fargo and walking around with him. Like, he just fucking crushes the ball. It's a different sound. And I can't figure him out either.
The only decent showing he had was the Dell this year.
Right, exactly.
And he got crushed on the last day there.
Yep. And I think we talked about, I just don't understand him as a Ryder Cup guy this year. Mm-hmm. I know he's on the President's Cup. But all that being said, I think Jason Day basically blew his wad for this year.
Yeah. He missed the last, two or three cuts?
Yeah, and by a little. It was, he wasn't even close.
Right.
I just think he was happy to get that win again, kind of come back from all the struggles that he had.
Yeah.
And that took a lot out of him. So I'm going to go with
Cam Young.
Cam.
Interesting matchup here. Two guys I would love to watch. Max Homa versus Justin Thomas. Homa's -130, Thomas +100.
Well, are they still hung over from all that rosé they drank on Sunday?
I don't know. They got to be. They put a lot of effort into broadcasting that.
Then they flew probably together private across the country.
Drinking more rosé, yeah.
More rosé, I would think. I mean, you can't just sleep on the plane, right?
No,
you're a tour player, man. I guess if your family's there, you're not going to do it. But, like,
they're drinking, playing some kind of card games or something.
Especially it's a red eye. As soon as you touch down at 6 a.m., you just go to your hotel or your house. You take a nap, get to the golf course, hit some balls. Don't play on Monday.
Yeah.
Go to sleep early.
Take some Advils.
Take a bunch of Advil. Maybe pop some gummies, whatever.
Yeah.
And get going. I think that JT is going to win that bet.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. A lot of people are speculating that he's hurt this year, but he just does not have it. I don't know what's wrong with him and his game, but
I heard the same thing, and I would think, aside from the PGA Tour Live or PIF deal, nothing is kept a secret. So somebody would know that JT was hurt. He would say something about he's hurt.
Yeah, that's true.
He could just be struggling. Like, guys struggle.
Yeah, Ricky did for a long time.
Ricky did for a long time. Rory struggled. Tiger had his struggles going through swing changes. Now, the difference between Tiger struggling and JT struggling just shows you the difference between the caliber of player. Like, he's not even close to Tiger, but guys struggle. And I often wonder, is it time for JT to move on from his dad as a swing coach? Just let his dad be his dad.
Yeah, probably. That's a good point. You know, the crazy thing about Wyndham Clark was he didn't even have a swing coach. Brought that up. But
he has a mental coach, which is, I think, he's talked a lot about since winning at Wells, how much that's helped.
Yeah. Yeah, but I would agree with that. Maybe. Your dad, at the end of the day, probably isn't. I know he's a PGA professional or whatever, but I'm sure there's somebody that can probably help him more.
Yeah, and the only thing I would wonder is, can Mike, JT's dad, stay out of it?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he still lives he lives down in South Florida with JT, near JT. Would he be able to be like, all right, son, go do it. I got you this far. Let me hand it off to somebody else. So, a different set of eyes.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's possible. And I also wonder if it's possible if JT would ever be like, dad, it's time to move on.
Hard to do, probably, from either side, but yeah, might be necessary.
I mean, Sergio never did it. His dad was always his coach.
Yeah.
But Sergio never really talked as about, like, career. And I could be mistaken, like, in the early 2000s on what he said, but never really talked that much about, like, his legacy and all wanting to win all these majors.
Yeah. I don't recall it.
Talked about it, and maybe that was because Sergio lost all those majors prior to winning the Masters.
Yeah,
that's why he didn't talk about it. But it might be time for JT to take a look. Just look what happened to Ricky. He went to Butch Harmon, and look how he's playing.
Total game changer. I wonder if Rory needs a change, not with his swing, but. Maybe on the bag. I think I said this last time, maybe, but maybe he needs somebody to, I don't know. You don't see a lot of interaction between him and his caddy, and I think Rory wants to take the reins on most of that, but maybe every now and then he needs somebody to be like, yo, what are you doing? Like, wrong club. Or, you know, I don't like where you're aimed at with this putt. Something. Someone's got to help him on the greens or something. I don't know. Throwing that out there.
I mean, it's his best friend, right, from growing up?
Yeah, that's another situation. Like, you got to fire your best friend, but maybe it's time to look at something.
But, it, I mean, it gets to a point, man, where you're like, I just don't want to be around you that much.
Yeah.
Like, you're my best friend, so we're probably hanging out on weekends a little bit. I mean, maybe not Rory anymore, but, like, I'm seeing you 31 days in a row.
Yeah.
I don't want to see anybody. I mean,
maybe just make it work. You know, it's a work. Like, that's your.
Yeah.
That's at work, and, you know, you be friends with your friends.
Like, I remember when I was, like, 7 or 8, 9, 10, and, like, my friends would stay over. And it was, like, I'd stay over there. And it was, like, we're going to stay the weekend. Or it was, you know, it was always stay Friday night, y'all hang out all day Saturday, play football, whatever. And then it's, like, Mom, can I stay again another right. night? And you're, like, always hoping they allow them to stay one more night.
Yeah.
And, but by like, that Saturday night at like 9 o'clock, I'm like, get the fuck away from me. Like, I want nothing to do with you.
Yeah, I'm sick of you.
Yeah. So imagine doing that as, you know, for Rory and his best friend. Like, we've been around each other almost every day since we were like 3.
Yeah.
Like, sorry.
It's got to be like that. And, you know, you probably, I don't know, it's just different when you have a friend versus a coworker. Basically telling you or being able to help you. Like, I'm sure you enjoy being out there with your friend and it's fun. It's cool to win together and all that stuff. And maybe you need somebody else to tell you like, hey man, like this is not the shot we need to hit here. You know, I don't like the way you're aiming this putt. I think it's out here and yep. You don't see any.
I agree. Like, yeah, you don't ever see Harry.
He didn't do anything.
Does he ever read a putt for Rory?
I don't think he does anything. And I heard Rory wanted to kind of take control of all that because he wanted to be responsible for winning or losing. And I get that. But at some point, you might want to have some conversations, at least. Like, what do you think about it here?
It's your career.
I don't know. Like, after he's not made a putt on, you know, he's continuously doing the same thing over and over. Sunday after Sunday, like maybe it's time for somebody to say something.
Yep.
I don't know.
We can get out of here on this or right after this. But I was thinking when I heard, was it No Laying Up that was having the conversation about Rory and Harry?
Yeah.
On Sunday.
Uh huh.
It kind of got me thinking. Do you think Joe LaCava? Rory would call Tiger and be like, hey, what do you think about me bringing Joey on the bag or like making that offer? And what Tiger would say, knowing that he just went to Cantlay.
Tiger really doesn't have a say in it anymore, right?
Well, no, I think more from an opinion side. Like, oh. Hey. Because
I'm sure he probably would love it for him. Like, I think he'd be down for it. I don't see Joey winning a ton with Cantlay. I mean, he hadn't been worth a damn in any major.
Right, except for the 19 Masters, yeah. I don't know. I wonder if that would ever – and, yeah, I mean, Tiger would love it, but, if he would say, you know, Joe's a good caddy for a player like yourself.
Yeah.
Because, okay. You know, Tiger knows all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And I wonder, and I would think LaCava would, you know, he left DJ at DJ's close to his peak to go with Tiger.
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, I wonder what Rory could do with somebody like Bones. You know, like.
You're going to steal him from JT?
I mean, I don't think he steals him, but like, what if, right? You know, just
right.
Scenario. If Bones is on the bag, does he win Sunday? If LaCava's on the bag, does he win Sunday? I don't know.
He doesn't make bogey on 8.
He doesn't bogey 8. He probably doesn't bogey 14. Like,
right.
He needed to. I don't know. Yeah. It's interesting to think about.
And I would say he would make one of those 25, 30 footers.
It's got to make the one on 15 or, yeah, one of those.
I mean, just any of them. Yeah. Right? I mean, he had them all day long.
Gotta make the birdie on 8. Was it eight with the birdie? They missed the birdie from 4 feet.
Was it eight?
I think it was eight. He parred, but
I didn't mean bogey on eight. Yeah, bird, because he three putted.
He three putted for par.
Yeah, he three putted for par, which was basically a bogey.
I don't know. I think he probably makes one or two more birdies.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least doesn't have the mistakes.
Yeah, no way he bogeys 14.
That was just the dumbest thing. Watching it just makes me mad.
Because just like you said, it's not like he's getting any resistance from Harry on anything.
Nothing. They don't even talk. I don't think he pulls his own club and tells him, give me the 9-iron. That's what it looks like. You know, and his after presser on Sunday, he was even saying, I should have waited a little bit. The wind picked up. And, well, shouldn't your caddy tell you, yo, back off?
Yep.
Somebody's got to say something. I don't know.
So I wonder I wonder what the betting odds would be that Rory changes his caddy before the British Open.
Zero. I don't think he does. I don't think there's any chance he changes caddy this year.
It's one of those things where in the golf world, when you hear people start talking about it for the first time.
Do you think he hears that, though? Do you think people are talking about it that he actually runs in circles with? And he's not listening to Laying Up.
Oh, yeah, he is. He's on No Laying Up all the time.
Is he?
On the Strap podcast, when they were talking about, every week they did a segment with Secession, recapping Strapped, or I don't know. Forgive me, guys, if you listen to this. But when people start talking about it, that means that there's a buzz in the air that that's a possibility, that they're hearing it from somebody. Not, you and I think speculate more on stuff, and I'm doing it now, right now. But we don't have any connections, right? Yeah. We're fans that are looking at it from the outside. We're not on any of the inside circles.
Right.
Right. So
not yet.
Not yet. but it just, I don't know. I could see it because they're off. I was just looking at the schedule. And again, we can leave. Sorry, this is going long. That's my fault tonight. I'm usually telling you we got to stop.
Well, those guys on Laying Up are saying maybe he wants to win with Harry. He wants to actually see it through.
I heard that too. And that could be, but at some point, if it doesn't happen, you're going to
have to. Yeah, it's been 9 years, buddy.
Sorry, buddy. I paid you, $10 million over 9 years. So Travelers this week, obviously everyone's playing. Most guys are off next week, or Rory's definitely off next week. He's off the week after, so 2 weeks.
What's the next?
So Travelers next week is the Rocket Mortgage in Detroit.
Tony
Max is playing in it. That's four in a row for him. That sucks.
He needs to practice this year.
He's gonna then Rory's definitely gonna miss John Deere, and then he'll play in the Genesis Scottish Open. I would assume it's a designated event. So
I think he said he was on that interview.
Yeah. So that gives you 2 weeks, a week playing in Scotland with your new caddy. Get your feet wet, and then you go to the next week to the Open.
Who's he going to get, though? He'd have to steal somebody to get anybody good, right?
Yeah, I'm saying,
LaCava just says F you to Cantley?
I think it could happen.
Yeah, I guess it could. Be rare, right? That doesn't happen much on the tour. I don't really keep track of caddies, but.
No, I would say that would be extremely rare for you to caddy for three different of the top 10. Well, Tiger wasn't a top 10 player.
And typically not mid-season either, right?
No, you're right. It's usually after. I'm just, put this as the breakout video. Rory fires Harry after this week. Not fires. That's too harsh of a word. Rory and Harry part ways. Focus on their friendship. It was stressing their friendship too much.
And he wins the Open
Lacava,
at Liverpool.
Lacava leaves Cantlay because he didn't have enough tools in his DeWalt bag for Rory.
All right. Book it. Clip it. You heard it here first.
Love it.
All right. Enjoyed it. Good luck at the Travelers. We'll maybe place a few of these bets that we ran through. If you're listening, don't take our advice on bets, but we might. Have a good week.
I'll be in Pinehurst this week. Coming up.
Go low.